Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am your host, Eddie Van Weven, and alongside me, as always, is Mr. Spencer Big Guns Williams.
Yeah, I can get behind that title.
Well, I figured as much. It's one of those ones that I think you don't really have an issue with, and I threw up a little bit of inspiration on the back wall for us for you so that you can get in the mood today's review, because we are talking about...
First Blood.
The first film in the long Rambo franchise that is actually coming to a close next week with the release of Rambo Last Blood, I believe it's called.
Yes.
So we're going to take a walk down memory lane. We're going to discuss this film and all its implications, everything that it talked about, and just really see what it is that made this film so unique and iconic. So, stick around as we jump into that. So, Spence... take it away.
The film Philmlosophers lock and load their minds as they are brought to you by Mingle Media TV and BGB Studios. Like the rising of a new dawn, so do new episodes as they debut each Wednesday morning.
Very poetic. Very nice. Very lovely.
Charge down the enemy and download the latest episode on your favorite streaming platforms such as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Libsyn, Player FM, and
you
Audio.
You forgot Boom. One.
I
you
did on purpose. One. They are not special. I guess you could do it on Pandora.
Okay. Go ahead.
To survive a war, you gotta become war. What? What does that even mean?
It's a quote. I mean, not from the first one. It's from the second one, but still, it's a quote.
Oh, dear. I haven't gotten to that.
To survive war, you gotta become war.
What he says.
Join our ranks by connecting
stick
us
with it. With nail us the landing. Quit questioning authority.
Connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/filmlosophers, on Twitter at twitter.com/filmlosophy101. We've got cookies and war, apparently. Looking for more things to listen to while you're down in the
Can
trenches?
Put that on a shirt?
We in got the trenches of war? Head over and check out our entire list of episodes available at filmlosophers.com.
This is such an appropriate episode for what we're going to be talking about. We're over here laughing, and Spencer's making fun of war. And we have
I'm not making fun of war!
We got cookies and war, apparently! What is that? Oh. Yes, we have over 180 episodes on our website. Check us out, filmlosophers.com. Where we just actually recently dropped a really cool special extra credit episode where we were at CrockerCon recording live at the time with a lot of great friends, a lot of great individuals from around the area and community, including famed YouTuber and awesome maker Odin Makes. So check it out. It's on our website, on all those streaming platforms. It's a really fun and great episode. Spencer was already laughing. We were just... dipping into it in a little bit, so
yeah, it was good.
It was fun. So, but before we get into anywhere of that, we are talking about today, Rambo, and the film, First Blood. No, you get sad now, but this is the same song. It is. Oh yeah, it dives into that. This is the first part of that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
This is what happens, Spence. This is what happens. You see? You see?
This was an interesting movie.
To survive a war, you gotta become war.
Okay, if that's in the second one, I don't know that yet. I'm talking about the first one.
Ah, this is gonna be such a great episode. Mm. See? Told
there it
you.
Is. There it is. Like, what's... I already want to just get into a review just talking about this part of the song, because, like, this is after the climax of the movie. And then this, like, song straight out of the 70s. It's like, it's a long run. And I'm like...
what was that?
That's a long run. That is exactly what it's like. It's so jarring. It's weird.
It's at the end of the movie.
But, like, I'm still recovering emotionally through what happened through the ending of the movie, and that's kind of like a everything is awesome type song to just slap on the end. It's an interesting choice.
Well, if 70s was ever wrapped up in a nice, neat bow, this is
song.
How it is.
Is it. This is it.
So we've got a chance to discuss the critically acclaimed and very iconic First Blood, the first film in the entire Rambo franchise that kind of kicked it all off. And uniquely enough, the last film is debuting, as we said, in a week or so, and we wanted to go ahead and go back to the basics and talk about this film here. So before we go any further, Spence, why don't you go ahead
and... It's just interesting. So, Vietnam veteran and drifter John J. Rambo wanders into a small Washington town in search of an old friend, but is met with intolerance and brutality by the local sheriff, Will Teasel. When Teasel and his deputies restrain and shave Rambo, he flashes back to his time as a prisoner of war and unleashes his fury on the officers. He narrowly escapes the manhunt, but it will take his former commander to save the hunters from the hunted.
That's right. Based on the 1972 novel First Blood by David Morrell, the film is directed by Ted Kotcheff and co-written actually by Sylvester Stallone, who also stars as the Vietnam War vet John Rambo. Mm. The film also co-stars Richard Crenna and Brian Dennehy. Yeah. Like I said, this is a film that's really kind of carved its name in the echelon of action films, if you will, because this is one of those unique type of films that you don't actually just really look over. Like, you give it its due time, you give it its opportunity to actually let it sink in. Spencer himself had actually not seen the film prior to the time we saw it.
I might revise that statement, but I think that's true.
I'm glad the audio's dying on that part, because that's how my heart feels. We've been... You know what?
I've been mentally going back and forth. Like, have I seen this movie? Because, like, the opening of the movie feels very familiar, but the ending does not. And it seems also very weird that I would just watch part of a movie.
Well, see, leave. The thing is that First Blood has been around since 1982. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those movies that you may have, like, shortly glimpsed on, or briefly glimpsed on, like, Fox on the Saturday afternoon movies, or on Sunday on, like, ABC, like, or not even ABC, it'd probably be Fox. Like, when they used to do those movies in the afternoon, like, all those action movies or whatever, just to fill in the time slots in between sports seasons, because nobody ever watched Fox on the weekends.
Hey, they had, yeah, they had movies on the weekends.
They had programming in the morning, and they had programming at night. And in between, it was golf and movies. Get it right. But, yeah, this is one of those films that you sincerely have to take into, like, the grand idea that it really paved the way for a lot of future action films. I mean, the idea that the film is focused on one particular individual was kind of perfected with First Blood. You had groups, you had massive amounts of other people, but never, like, a primary focus, like, everybody's focused on this particular individual, or even an anti-hero to some extent. Like, the person whom people are pursuing aren't exactly, like, bad people, but they're not exactly the best of people, you know?
Yeah, they kind of suck. They're bummers.
Well, that went south really quick. But this film was, you know, just at its basic core, a unique action film that really created, like, the basis for what is now known as, like, the social commentary in action films, in most films. Because, like I said, at its basic core, it is an action film. But because of what it's based on and the subject matter of it, if you're not just watching it for the simple, like, oh, I love blood and guts, I want to see action, rah, 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 let's see them shoot the people. Like, if you're not like that, you can't ignore, like, the blatant social commentary things that are spoken about in this film. And it's the truth, because I remember the first time I saw it when I was young, I didn't think of anything like that. I just thought, like, oh, this is an action movie, this is whatever. Wasn't until I got older, into, like, my early teens, that I re-saw it, and I'm like, huh, that's a big problem. That's actually a real issue. And so we wanted to take a look and not just go back to the film that, I, like I said, started it all, but also the film that kind of created, that reshaped the mold. It broke it, reshaped it, and began to create what is essentially now known as the modern-day action film and the action star, because you didn't really have, like, big focus names like Rambo before this. You had, I think, maybe, I don't know, you had, like, Ripley from Alien,
right,
from the late 70s. You maybe had the gunslinger from Westworld, 74.
But that was only one movie.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's, it's just the one film.
Mm.
But there wasn't a follow-up yet to Alien at the time.
Mm.
And there wasn't really that much of, like, a complex with the hero of the time. There wasn't that, like, in-depth of, like, oh my gosh, this guy's got some issues. This guy's... He's not a perfect hero, so to speak, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when First Blood came out, essentially, this is kind of what reshaped that. And giving the opportunity to say, hey, not all heroes are perfect. And not all heroes have, like, everything going great for them. And so that's one of the things that I just, we really want to take notice of. And also, on, I don't know if you guys know this that are listening, those at home and those listening in the car and on your... with your earbuds or whatever. I don't know why I sounded country when I said that. But don't shake your head at me.
I'll do what I feel like.
You're not my dad. the day that this episode drops is actually, it was announced earlier this week, is officially Rambo Day. So seeing as how, like we said, the film's debuting on the 18th. I'm sorry. The film's debuting this Friday on the 20th. You have... people all over the U.S. celebrating September 18th as Rambo Day. So, you know, that's actually really cool when you think about it, because you have an opportunity to celebrate what many people have already been seeing as a unique film for a long time already. And it's really great to see everybody else celebrate what has already been something so iconic and so moving in cinematic history, you know. So, Spence... obviously, you said you may or may not have seen it. This is like...
it's a real question.
It's like talking to a child after you know he's had a cookie and you, the lid's moved and you're like, did you have a cookie? And it's like, well, maybe I did, but I don't remember.
Okay,
it's like, just spit it out, child. Like grabbing him by the collar and just shaking him like, just tell me, did you have a cookie or not?
I don't believe in shaking children.
Spencer, you must have not have worked in childcare.
I have not.
I can neither confirm nor deny that is a form of teaching method I used, but I'm just saying.
Oh, that's very upsetting. This is a terrible start to this podcast.
We're
talking about war and potential lawsuits about children.
Never. So, you obviously may or may not have seen it, but what were some of your pre notions before, like, actually seeing this film in its entirety? Like, what were some of the things that you already had in mind? Like, oh, this is what it's about. This is what it's probably going to be about. This is what they're going to cover, blah, blah, blah.
Basically, it came down to the poster, because I've seen the poster.
That guy?
Yeah, that guy. He's holding the gun, and he's got a bandana, and he's got, like, a wife beater on. And I thought he was going to go around shooting people, and that's... kind of it. I really didn't know what to expect with this movie. Yeah, besides the fact that I knew, like, police were involved somehow and he was gonna be doing things around them.
That,
like, I came into this, like, movie.
You and your statements, like, he was gonna be doing things around, like, where is your
like,
what does that mean? Like, you expect me not to think like that, and then you serve up a big fat volleyball just like that, and I'm expected not to go up and, like, bam, you're dirty. Like, what am I supposed to say?
Okay, like, I came into this movie pretty blind, so, like, that's why I'm being super vague. Like, at the time, I didn't really have, like, super high expectations. I knew I was getting Sylvester Stallone, so I was thinking, you know, Rocky-era Sylvester-ish.
Rocky-era Sylvester. True. This was actually one of the first films he did after that was a non-Rocky movie that actually wasn't a flop. Oddly enough, yeah, it's true.
You mean like, people didn't love Cobra?
Well, Cobra came after that.
Oh, okay.
But it's unique enough as it stands. Like I said, this movie is really one of those types of movies that you think, okay, First Blood, oh, Rambo. It's completely about, like, killing and shooting and like, destroying people and mowing people down and, you know, all that stuff. That's immediately the first thing people go to. And in all honesty, like, they're not wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The people who have seen this movie assume, like, okay, well, if it's just like the rest of them, all the other ones, like, are exactly about that. Did you not see the recent Rambo movie?
I've seen none of them except this one.
So the recent Rambo movie, which I believe I want to say is just called Rambo.
Yeah, from 2008.
Yeah, that movie literally has a bunch of people or a bunch of balloons that are shaped like people filled with like red jello. Because he shoots these people and they explode like chaos. That is the best way to put it.
That seems concerning.
No, it's true. Like, that's exactly how some of the scenes are. And you think of that and you're like, okay, well, that's what to expect. Like, you know, there's not much else to it, really. Not many people are used to seeing a movie with John Rambo, Mr. Sylvester Stallone,
mm-hmm.
and expect this movie to be anything other than like, okay, well, if it's Rambo, then it has to do with throats being pulled out, people getting their, you know, their faces cut, and John Rambo sitting on a 50 caliber gun, shooting people down, gunning them like crazy. Like, that's literally what I would expect, because that just seems to be the scene in most of the movies.
Well, I think that's probably because you have a reference point of seeing the whole series, though.
I have to be brutally honest. I haven't seen every single one of them, but I have seen a good majority of them, and I'm not trying to say that it's any, you know, there are any bad movies.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying it's one of those movies where you have to be mindful, like, not all of them are very similar in terms of, like, look.
Like tone or something?
Yeah, in terms of tone.
What is this?
See?
This is from the fourth Rambo. People are... You were not lying. These people are balloons.
Told you. They are literally blown to bits. Like
that is...
There's no... There's... Yeah, see, he's on a huge 50 cal... Look at that. Look at that.
I feel like a lot has happened in this franchise to go from where we were in this first movie to whatever the heck this is.
And, I mean, you look at that, like, he's literally turning everybody into ground beef. But you think, like, if your only form of reference in this movie is like, all right, this looks like a Rambo movie. Let's see if this is just like the rest of them.
See, that's that's wild. Because watching this one scene of the final battle, I would not have classified this as something from Rambo if you just blindly showed it to me.
Yeah, exactly. And and because of the fact that this is a movie that you are exposed to in, like, our now generation, let's just be honest, we weren't around when the first Rambo film dropped. We weren't
right.
old enough. We weren't around.
I was -5.
Thank you for that lovely number crunching. never mind. I'm not even going to get... But in our time, once we got to that age where we could actually enjoy and like digest movies like this, this was our first intro into things like that. If you weren't like me, and I say that very respectfully to whomever's listening, if you didn't grow up like me, if you weren't, you know, like the type of person that I grew up being around with other people who constantly exposed me to movies like this at a young age, you probably had no idea who John Rambo was up until 2008. And then you saw this movie and you're like, oh my gosh, look at that. He destroys people. Oh, my God. Like, you would think that's all every Rambo movie is about. And yeah. it's sad that that's what this franchise has come to.
Mm-hmm.
Because after seeing, after rewatching, because I've seen it several times already, but after rewatching First Blood again, I can honestly say he kills nobody in this movie. There is nobody that dies by his hand.
Well, kind of that one guy.
No, he fell out of a helicopter, and it wasn't his fault.
Well, I mean, if he did throw that rock.
Okay. That's like, let me toss this pebble in the air, and if it hits this train, and that train ends up colliding with another, you know, train down the road, it's my fault because I threw the rock.
Okay. But no. Like,
no.
No, those two situations are not equal.
No, there's no correlation just because he threw a rock, all the other circumstances that happened before.
There's a domino effect. He threw a rock. The plane pilot, like, moved the plane. The guy fell out because the plane moved.
But the guy had him take the helicopter so low down to where it's dangerous. He was leaning out of the side of the helicopter, shooting like a madman.
Yeah.
And then when the air drafts and everything like started shifting because the pilot got scared from the rock that hit him, the rock was not strong enough to move the entire helicopter.
I'm just saying it made the pilot jittery.
The guy shooting made the guy jittery. I mean, forget it. Bottom line is, in the intentional way of things, Rambo never intentionally causes anybody to die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his whole purpose of that was to just scare the helicopter away so that he could run and get away and stay alive.
Yeah,
because he was getting shot at.
Most people don't like that.
True. Very true. Very true. So, diving into this movie, honestly, unless you were around back then, the budget for the film, you wouldn't really know the budget, but the budget for this film actually was pushed towards $17 million. It was actually going to be $11 million, but because it was a couple of, I think, weeks overdue, they went into filming a little long. They were in filming a little longer than normal. The budget was pushed to $17 million. And, man, where has budgets gone these days? Like, you think about it like, oh, we're over budget. We're at $17 million. And you turn and look at, like, some of these movies coming out of, like, Marvel and Disney and Sony and Warner Brothers. And it's like, oh, yeah, we did $100 million on budget. Mm-hmm. Or we did, you know, $80 million. Or we did close to $200 million. And it's like, for what? Like,
I'm just... For CGI.
Yeah, but...
That's where all the money goes.
It's just one of those interesting points for me. It's like... What happened to the days where people were trying to make a budget-minded film? Like, during the era of, like, Paranormal Activity, which that movie was made on, like, a few thousand dollars and made ridiculous. Worldwide success. So.
See, when you have a good story and, like, you're
mindful.
I didn't
say it was a good story. I just say that they're able to do it.
I never watched it, so I'm just assuming.
Oh, we got ourselves our first piece of Halloween homework. But jumping into the film, obviously, if you're not aware, like Spence said, John Rambo's essentially a drifter looking for his friend after the Vietnam War, ends up getting the pull around with the local sheriff, Will Teasel, getting pushed around, getting treated bad, and ends up getting a huge flashback and skips out of there. Pushing people away.
Like, this is the most understated way of saying all of these horrible things that happened to this man.
Well,
like,
it's true.
I got so angry watching this movie. I got on my laptop and started looking up vagrancy laws. And I'm like, I don't think they can do this. This seems hella illegal. And then I was surprised to learn, yeah, they could probably at the time, crazy.
At the time. And it's the biggest, so obviously you have Sylvester Stallone playing John Rambo. You have Brian Dennehy, who plays a perfect Will Teasel
mm-hmm.
as the local sheriff. He's just somebody you can really like just moan and groan about at the beginning. You think like, okay, maybe, maybe not. And you just grow to like despise him because of his angst towards this one man.
Yeah, he's going out of his way.
Yeah,
to be just antagonistic to this guy for no good reason.
100%. And so, oddly enough, if you've been under a rock, obviously you don't know, but the whole town, all the sheriffs, all the local county sheriffs, all the local state police, including certain members of the army, show up to try to stop him. You get what's his name, Colonel Krenna, or Colonel what's his name?
Oh, it's I wrote it down at the bottom of my notes, and where'd it go?
Colonel Trotman.
Yeah.
Colonel Trotman comes to try to find and help Rambo, and essentially keep the local people from getting killed. And then essentially it turns into this big old rigmarole where it ends up in Rambo giving himself up after a tearful, you know, ending last act. And yeah, and as simple as that sounds, it's not that simple, because this movie really digs into some really strong social commentary that sadly is still very much like
super relevant,
super relevant of today. And it's kind of a sore spot for me, because I don't know if I've ever mentioned on the podcast, but I used to work with and then be the director of a homeless outreach program. And I used to work with a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who were in similar places and similar mindsets. And you have moments where it's like, these people do not live in our current frame of a universe right now. Like, these people are walking around, but they're not walking around our day. They're not walking around like our surroundings and everything. While they're walking, they're seeing things that they remember from either war or from, you know, things that have caused the PTSD that they're facing. Or, and it's hard because you can't really like snap somebody just out of that. You mm-hmm. just have to hope and pray that when they see you, they don't see you as an enemy, in all honesty. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of scary at times, because you don't want to be that person that has to like shoo them away, because they're used to that. Like, that is literally all they've had the entirety of their, you know, living on the street life. So this movie has always been interesting to me, but once I started doing that and I was heavily involved in that, it this movie kind of took a bit of a like left turn in terms of me seeing just how ignorant certain people are. And mind you, yes, there are several types of movies that and several types of social commentary pieces that really dig into like the ignorance of man. And I mean, we could go for days listing every single work out there, from, you know, Mississippi Burning to even the modern day films like Selma and Detroit. But I think there's also another subset of like ignorance that is completely overlooked, and that is the ignorance of those that have suffered due to war or being forced to go to war and being in situations like that. And yes, there is a certain level of like, well, there is a certain level of like understanding, well, oh, there's help for people like that. They can do this kind of stuff or whatever. But no, I mean, isn't your dad military?
My dad and my grandfather, yeah.
So, I mean, you know of the struggles when it comes to, like, trying to get appointments at the VA, trying to, like, get them, you know, the help they need for certain things, having to get the runaround from the government, you know. Like, I don't know, does your dad make you aware of some of those things like that?
I don't want to say anything because I know my dad listens to the podcast. the stories I heard from my dad were more like, you know, they're trying to tell me all this stupid stuff, but I know that this, and this is happening. And it's usually my dad staying two steps ahead of, like, the government and the VA trying to trip him up. He has the best stories. My dad has the best stories.
Sounds like we had to get your dad here on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure he'd love to be on here.
But I mean, for people like one of the interesting shows that I used to watch more frequently until it got taken off, or at least got canceled, and thankfully enough it got re-picked up by another network. But One Day at a Time was a Netflix show that I used to watch quite frequently, and in that show, like, you have the main character who is trying her hardest to keep this home afloat of, you know, all these of her two kids and her grandma living with her while being a vet, essentially, of the Afghani war. And so you have Penelope, who is trying to make sense, and she's trying to, like, get a hold of, like, the VA to get appointments, and she's on medication, and she's trying to keep herself, you know, balanced. And it's like a lot of people who see that series can somewhat relate, but I feel like that's still just like a small tidbit of what real people actually face. And it's sad because there are millions, and I say millions because I know for sure that at least a million are out there of individuals who are just lost, you know, and struggling in this world and trying to make sense of, like, where they're at. Are they still here? Are they overseas? Are they, you know, walking into a store to get, you know, a jug of milk? Or are they going in and getting this flashback to when they were having to fear for their life for whatever, you know, retaliations there was going to happen? Like, I have some of the utmost respect for military because of the fact that I could never put myself in a situation like that. I wouldn't willingly put myself in a situation like that because I don't know if I'm bred for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that's something I could do. And there are people who are willing to take that mantle for me and carry it with a lot more pride and sense of honor than I could ever. And I'm thankful for that. Like, people mm-hmm. like your dad, your grandfather, those are people that I tip my hat to as often as I can because they're people who literally fought for the very things that I have the abilities and the rights to do now. Like us having the ability to just have a ridiculous podcast to talk about movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's a freedom we have.
It's nice too.
You know, it's very nice. And if it starts paying, it'll be even better. But like a lot of the stuff we get to, like going to the movies or going and hanging out or going to places and staying there like late at night and not having like a government curfew or being able to spend time with friends or to have whomever you choose as, you know, somebody you care for and want to love, or being able to have however many kids you want and not just the 2.5 kids that, you know, are mandated by the government, or to be able to live like how you want, or to eat how you want, or to be able to endure however you want. Those are all freedoms that we get to have because of people like your dad and your grandfather. And so if he's listening right now, which I hope he is, you know, hey, thank you. Because
thanks, Dad.
I don't think there's ever anybody in this world that deserves more of our gratitude than the people who literally lay down their lives for us and not even ask for a handout. Like, you have no idea how I'm going to say pickles. You have no idea how pickles I get when I see these videos of, like, people who are war vets or people who are military who, like, go into places and they're like, you know, hey, do you have a military discount? And people get all pickles in the background, and they get all upset and pissed because they're like, oh, how dare you ask for a military discount? Oh, you're just like, I'm like,
well, just say no, we don't offer it. It's not that hard.
Yeah, or it's so frustrating to see things like that because it's like, I feel like these people deserve to, like, I feel like the same deal they gave to all those guys in Armageddon, they should have given to every vet in the world. In the United States, like, all right, you want to stay in the Lincoln bedroom at the White House? Sure, you could stay for a night. You want a full Caesar's package to, you know, for Caesar's Palace or whatever? Sure. You don't ever want to pay taxes again? By all means, that's fine. Whatever. Like, I feel like...
See, that's the one I'd take.
I wish that was the case anywhere. Like, if that was a subscription service, I'd be on that. Like, yes, please. But yeah, like, this movie triggers a lot of that for me because there are people out there who just get so rolled around because they're not going to fight back, because if they fight back, they know the mindsets they fall back into, and they don't want to fall back into that. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of running, you know, circling back to this film, that's the mindset for John Rambo in this. He's just a man who's looking for the last of his troop when they left Vietnam. He's just wanting to see, like, hey, how's everything going? He's just, you know, hitchhiking down, or I don't even think he's hitchhiking. He's just walking, like, backpacking it all the way through the roads and everything to see how his friends are doing, see how the rest of his troop is. And the very last one who he thought was still around actually died. And you find out that very early in the film, like within 5 minutes of the film, you find out he died from whatever the Agent Orange substance that they were using overseas at Vietnam, whatever he contracted from that. So you find out really quick that John is the last of his kind, is the last of his troop, is the last of those that he, you know, bled and cried with and fought with. And like, you think about it, and that's a lot to like take in for anybody. Like, that's a lot to like contemplate and really keep together while just trying to figure out where your next steps are. And then for him to just meander into a local town and get pushed around by this jerk of a cop. I've never wanted to hit a TV screen so hard, because I'm like, he's just trying. And then the part where he goes like, is there a decent place to, you know, get some food at around here? And he's like, oh yeah, there's a diner 30 miles up the road. I'm like, dude, are you going to drive him 30 miles up the road? There's literally a Denny's right there. You just pass. I don't see why you can't just let him go. But people, like the ignorance of the people at this time, it's like, I don't get it. Why? You know? You don't have to be that kind of a jerk. And it is frustrating to me, because it's like, there are so many hurting people out there that would just love to have a simple conversation. Mm-hmm. And be able to find somebody who they can just talk to and share their life with in terms of like their experiences, and give them, even if it's a mental safe haven, a verbal safe haven of just saying, hey, how's it going? How's your dog doing? I used to run into so many people, Spence. I used to run into so many people who would have pets up the wazoo. They would live by the river, but they'd have three dogs, and they were, you would think that these dogs lived in huge mansions, because these dogs were more well taken care of than these people were, because every amount of money that these people got went into taking care of the dogs. And I remember an instance where, like, some of these people, like, they would tell us about like the raids and everything that would happen, in, you know, in the nights with the police and everything. And these people would like, oh, they took our dogs, or they did these things. And it was like, I can't help them with that. Mm-hmm. But I can engage in conversation and tell them, you know, it's going to be okay. You know what? What do you need? What can I help you with now? And circling back to this movie, like, I think that's one of the biggest things that is missing in this film. You do have, what's his name? David Caruso's character, Mitch, who does try to be like, you know, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. You know, because Teasel ends up taking him in for vagrancy, which is so ridiculous, but it's a legitimate thing. And all the sheriffs there, all the deputies or whoever they are, they're roughing him up. They're giving him a hard time. And it's like, all you have to do is just get him in and whatever, but no, they don't seem to understand. Mitch is the only one who's like, hey, you know, take it easy, guys, or whatever. But everyone else is like, oh, he's stubborn. It's like, you're not working with a donkey here. This is a human being.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, they don't see him as such. They just see him as like this wandering problem, and they're just trying to scare him out of the town. And it's probably one of the most frustrating scenes I've seen in a while, of just people not getting it, you know?
It's true. And these like, I think ignorance is too nice of a word. Like, there has to be something stronger than ignorance that kind of is like, that exemplifies how these people were. Because these people were just plain, and I'm going to say, these people were just plain stupid. Like, they were completely inept of any kind of humanity. Mm-hmm. And the sad truth is, it's not something that was foreign at the time. You know? Being that way, being that, that kind of way with individuals, especially with people who are coming back from war. Like, they're so obviously John has this big old flashback from being a prisoner of war, goes nuts, beats up a couple of the cops, escapes, runs to the forest, barricades himself in the forest, threatens all the cops that they need to go back or something bad's gonna happen. One of the cops ends up dying by falling from a helicopter. They think it was his fault. Wasn't his fault. It was just accidental. And you have this whole situation that occurs where they bring in everybody to try to find him. They think they kill him. They don't. And I'm fast-forwarding all this because the most meaningful part of this entire film is in its last 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Because you have all this, and obviously all this is obvious. Everything that's happened thus far is obvious in the film. And then you get to the last 15 minutes, and like Rambo's finally opening up and saying, like, telling the colonel, like, the colonel's like, the mission's over. You got to stop, Rambo. You got to stop, Johnny. And he's like, it's never over. It's not. And he comes into this, like, tearful, like, remembrance of how he's left that place, but he's never left that mindset. And it's so powerful because it's like he breaks down. Sylvester Stallone breaks down in this tearful. You come to this moment where this awesome Adonis of a man, after like seriously defying all odds, is you know, in the corner of this, you know, police station, and then he starts breaking down and crying, and you're like, wait, is that supposed to happen? Do people do that? Do guys like him do that? Like, do the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of our world, do they do that? Do like the Charles Bronsons of our world, the Clint Eastwoods, do they do that? And you have Sylvester Stallone, who has been this kind of idol of machismo, if you will, with the Rocky films and everything else. You have him crying against a filing cabinet, talking about like he's the last one. And I don't know if you know this, but the story that he talks about, do you remember the story that he talks about his friend getting a shoe shine?
Yeah, no, I am not going to forget that, because that was horrifying.
Well, you know, that was actually a true story.
No, I did not know that.
So that story was actually relayed to Sylvester Stallone by an actual Vietnam veteran.
Huh.
And so Sylvester Stallone wrote that as one of the writers for the film, wrote that into the film as that one of the part of that last speech. But it's like,
that's cool that he took someone's real story, though.
Yeah, it really is. And you have this beautiful, you know, cacophony of him trying to explain through his sobs as to why he just feels so out of place. And he doesn't understand how when he was overseas, he was in charge of tanks. He was in charge of helicopters. He could drive these things. He was in charge of million-dollar equipment. And now out here, he can't even work at a car wash. All that experience, all that effort, and it accounted for nothing. You know, and ultimately, David Morrell's grand thought for this particular book, as well as the film itself, with Ted Kochev, whatever, is that, you know what? The mistreatment of a lot of our Vietnam vets, a lot of our vets in general, is so bad that we use them and then we just leave them off to the side. Like, okay, you don't serve a purpose anymore, so we're done with you. And thankfully, the times have changed, and a lot of the VA procedures and processes and the ability to get help has gotten a little better, but it's still a very rampant situation and issue with a lot of people, where people who can't stop the voices will self-medicate, or people who are dealing with situations have no other outlet other than violence. And it's unfortunate, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry for the downer, but it's just, this movie has a lot more going on in it than a lot of people first realize.
And I think that's one of the things I like the most about this movie, is that I was not expecting anything like, it's a Sylvester Stallone movie in the 80s. Like, I didn't expect it to be actual substance or something to talk about.
Who would have thought I would have felt this with a Sylvester Stallone movie?
I kind of thought it was going to be like Commando, except without like the need to go rescue your daughter. Like something mindless like that. I was not expecting, you know, real themes and just it's like so that much emotion, you know?
It's like that scene from The Grinch, like, I'm leaking. I'm all toasty inside.
Terrible. But yeah, that's just not what I was envisioning at all. And it was really powerful and really amazing that's what they chose to do with it. And I loved it.
It is. Like, you take a film that could have easily been... It could have easily gone in the direction of like, okay, we're going to scrub all the like... All the learning parts, all the parts that just are all like wishy-washy, we're going to rub all that out and just make another like Commando movie. We're going to totally just make this an action-packed powerhouse. This man's a BA, son of a, you know, he's going to mow down everybody in the entire world and it ain't nothing going to stop him, okay? Blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. It could have easily been a movie like that, but the fact that they took the time to create something that not only honored the book, but gave a foundation for someone like Sylvester Stallone the opportunity to create a performance that will truly resonate with people for what did we say, 37 years? It's resonated with so many people for 37 years that people are still talking about it even today, to the point to where you now have the last of the sequels debuting this Friday and September 18th being considered Rambo Day. So, I mean, you can't really go wrong with that. And something must have gone right for people to keep coming back for more and more. Now, mind you, I don't know if it's for the incredible insight on the social commentary from the first film or the blood and guts and bags of blood in the fifth film. But either way, they're coming back for more. And that's really all that matters. I mean, really.
I'm very curious as to what's going to happen. I think I might watch one of the other ones just so I'm not as shocked at the jarringness of what sounds like it will be, just like skipping over all of those movies. Because it sounds like the other movies take a much less serious approach.
I don't know if it's a much less serious... See, the thing is, I've only seen this one and the second one, which is why I knew that line, you know, to win a war, you got to become war. Like, also because I know it's in Gremlins Part 2. Oh, but either way, don't hate on the lack of knowledge that I have. No, but you have, I've seen those two films. I saw the recent one, Part 5, the Rambo one. And obviously we're intending to watch the last one together with actually a special guest. So stay tuned for that episode as it drops to hear who that special guest is, because I'm looking forward to it, as well as Spence.
Yep.
Aren't you, Spence?
No, I'm not.
Oh, I knew it. We're going to tell him. We're going to tell him. But before we go on, to kind of bring a little bit of brevity and a little bit of lightheartedness, we're bringing back a segment that we haven't done in a little bit, and I haven't told Spencer this.
You did not tell me this. I'm not prepared for anything.
I know, but that's the best part about it all. So we're bringing back the... Why did you do it? So why... Why did
you do that thing? I don't know what's happening.
Why would you do that?
The look on Spencer's face right now. Why did you do
that thing to me? Why did you do that? Why did you do that?
It says a whole song or something?
Oh, Bubba, we got some stuff for you.
Oh, dear. All right, everyone, let's go on an adventure onto Eddie's crazy journey.
This is our segment we haven't done in a long while called Why Did You Do That? We haven't done this in a while, but this is essentially us taking an interesting turn on this type of film, and we're pretty much posing questions as to would you rather... for a film like this. And like I said, we're going to take a little bit of a detour from the seriousness, just because I want to see Spencer's opinion on this. And I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and I want your honest opinion.
Okay.
Don't worry, it's nothing too brain heavy that you're going to have to, you know, worry about. But it's essentially kind of a random and odd. Questions to take in the direction for the film, and what would you rather do?
Uh-huh.
So here's my first question. Would you rather have had Rambo kill at least one more person in the film, or none at all? Because obviously, like we said, there's the accidental death, but yeah. It's not really his fault, so to speak. But if you were to remove that entirely, would that have made the film better for you? Or do you think if he was a little bit more, just actually more like the book, where he was a little bit more of like a, you know, a gunman to like mow down people?
Well, see, that's a really interesting question, actually. Okay, I might like this segment. Okay, so because I think I might lean into more killing, because
okay,
I don't know, now we're getting into the part where I don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't want to like, you know, offend anyone or something, but like it always seemed to me, if like you were being pushed into a corner, you might attack back.
Uh-huh. So you wanted him to actually retaliate against the people who were doing him wrong.
Yeah, because it's like not like to be like vindictive or anything, but it's like, no, I'm serious, leave me alone type thing. Even though he's doing a pretty good job by himself. Or maybe he just didn't bring his A game because he was basically messing around with a bunch of teenage boys who were 57.
That's very true. There you go. I think I would have actually rather have gone the opposite direction. For me, as much as I would have loved to see him like really take it to the people who were complete jerks to him, I think keeping him in the level of like of the level of innocence,
mm-hmm.
and showing like he was provoked, but he was in full control,
mm-hmm.
I think would have spoke a little bit more to me. Not that he was out of control when he threw the rock, like there's no amount of control that was necessary for that, but like it's one of those situations where it's like I would have rather had that guy not die and just him get his comeuppance at the end of the film, like for some other reason.
Oh, he wasn't gonna get anything
other than killed.
like if you took that out of there, like there's something about this whole police department where consequences feel like they're not a thing. Like, I feel like this incident would have happened, Rambo would have left, the police officers would have recovered, and nothing would have happened. That's kind of the feeling I get from that whole police department.
Well, you ready for the next question?
I guess.
All right. Question number two. Would you rather have had the film straight action and seriousness, like it was, or have a lighthearted, almost slightly comedic tone?
No comedic tone. I like it the way it is.
So you wouldn't have like wanted to see almost like a situation where, say, I don't know, if The Rock was in that role. Like The Rock would have had, he would have had to have had like maybe some lighthearted comedic moments, or even maybe not so much as like comedic, but like moments of brevity, moments where it was broken up.
Well, okay, if The Rock was doing it, I'm sure this would have probably come across as like, I'm so in control of the situation right now, and you're so out of your depths that I have time to make jokes and not be in danger at all type thing. But I really appreciate the movie as it is, where, you know, it's like a little bit of action, a little bit of serious social commentary. I really love that.
Yeah. Well, that made it easy. Because I agree. I would rather have had the film straight action and serious. I would have rather have had it as it is, because that's how the original work. I mean, I'm not a fan of like being a stickler for source materials.
You cannot change from the source material. Why did they burn down Ron Weasley's house in Harry Potter? That did not happen in the books.
Wow. I'm not a stickler for source material, but I am a stickler for the heart of the source material.
Mm-hmm.
And if the heart of it is to like really send home a message, then send home the message in the best vehicle possible. And you can't, like, you can't send a message like this with any kind of comedic undertones.
Yeah.
I just feel like this film required the deep dive into the hellish world of PTSD and war vets in the way it did, and give the message it did in the best way possible. So, last question. And this is for all the marbles in the world. This is for all the monocles.
Okay.
If there was someone out in the cinematic world that would have been equal to Rambo's ferocity to take him down, who would you have chosen to send?
Well, I think that's fairly obvious.
Is it? It
would have been Arnold Schwarzenegger from Commando. That version of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, you think about it. In the entire cinematic universe of everything, I mean, we've seen Indiana Jones take out a big old German guy once. You got James Bond with all his gadgetry. You know, you're using brawn over intelligence. Not to mention, when I was writing this, I was like, you know what I'd pick? I would have picked Benicio del Toro from The Hunted. Did you ever see The Hunted?
Nope.
The Hunted is a very similar movie to this.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. Unfortunately, in the end, Benicio del Toro does die. But it's very similar. Tommy Lee Jones is this trainer. He doesn't work. He's not in the military. He works for the military as a contractor, and he trains people to kill. And he trained Benicio del Toro to be a Green Beret, and he ends up, like, something goes loose in his head, and he begins to believe, like, every person around him is a combatant, and essentially just goes loose on a city. And Tommy Lee Jones is ultimately sent to stop him. It's a great movie. It really is. We should see it sometime. But I think Benicio del Toro would have been probably the better bet, because a lot of the stuff that Rambo does in this movie, Benicio del Toro does, like, second nature.
That's interesting.
So, I don't know. Like, did you want to stick with,
Yeah, no, I'm sticking with
okay.
my pick. Because, like, okay. just seeing him okay. go, one, seeing, like, Arnold versus, like, Sylvester, that, like, that's going to be fun. And then two, like, Arnold has the superpower of that he can't be hit by bullets, so what's Sylvester going to do about that?
I'm sorry, wait, what?
Haven't you seen Commando?
Yeah?
Okay, so Arnold Schwarzenegger is just standing out in the open shooting people, and 50 people can't even nick this guy? That's no. No, absolutely not. That's not realistic. He has a superpower. It must be disillusionment, or you think he's one place, but he's not, because he just doesn't get hit, and that's why he's a cool pairing. Plus, then, like, you can have a second movie where, like, you add more of the comedic elements, where, you know, Arnold's making really stupid puns like he was in that movie.
Stick
like,
around.
Don't bother my friend. He's dead tired.
Well, that wraps up another awesome episode of The Filmlosophers. Again, if you have a chance, check out First Blood if you haven't seen it. It's a great way to start off this franchise, especially with the film debuting this Friday, Rambo Last Blood. Go to the beginning, check it out, and let us know what you thought. Let us know on our Facebook page at facebook.com/filmlosophers, or our Twitter page at twitter.com/filmlosophy101, or on Instagram at filmlosophy101. This movie is definitely a movie that speaks on different levels. If you're an action fan, if you're a fan of you know, heartfelt ideological films, films that have social commentary, even films that speak towards the element of humanity that we don't really talk about often, check it out and see where your heart falls within this film. It's not exactly the same Rambo that you see in part 2, 3, 4, or 5, and I'm more than certain in part 6. But it is a form of Rambo that you'll definitely get one of the bigger impacts from. So, if you get a chance, check out that film this Friday. It is going to debut on the 20th, and we are definitely going to go see it. And we're going to watch it with a friend of ours, whom you're going to get an opportunity to meet next week. So stick around for that. this was a really fun episode, and it's very awesome to find out that they're celebrating Rambo with Rambo Day. So on September 18th, get a chance, watch the film, enjoy it with some people, put a bandana on, you do you, boo-boo. Okay?
Okay.
Don't send me that contempt, Spencer. but yeah, this was a great episode, and we enjoyed it, and we hope you enjoyed it too. So, from all of us here at the Filmlosophers, I'm Eddie.
I'm Spence.
Class dismissed.